Well, good morning. As Ruth said, these three guys, many of our musicians have been up at Storybook Lodge with our youth at a youth retreat this past weekend, and I actually spent the day up there yesterday as well. We got just a big group, 40, 50 kids and a bunch of leaders who are at their annual youth retreat. And it was a great time yesterday. I got to talk with the kids a little bit in the morning, and then we played some basketball. And I'm just going to say, these kids are young, and they got energy, and it was like 3-on-3 competitive. And that was just a mistake. I'm just going to be honest. I probably sinned in even saying, yes, I'll play basketball with you young. I'm sore. I'm standing right now, and you can pray for me that I make it through this service. It was a really good time, and it was fun to hang out and be in prayer. We're going to pray in a little bit, and I do want to pray for the youth, because this is traditionally a weekend that has year-long impact in these kids' lives. It really does. We see some really valuable things that God does. It's kind of like a little short and condensed version of summer camp, where you just sort of take young people and you immerse them into Jesus for a few days, and they just kind of come back in many ways different. And it's one of those milestone events that God really does use. And so be in prayer even today, because they're there today until 5 o'clock. So be in prayer for them, and we'll pray for them in a little bit. But just that God would do his work deep in their hearts. Their theme was something called hide and seek. Which is a great theme, because it kind of exposes and opens up, you know, what are those things that we are hiding away? What are those secret things that we don't tell our parents, or what are we hiding from in terms of seeking God? And then their theme verse is from Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you as well. And what a great thing to just pour into the lives of young people, which is, don't be hiding stuff and seek hard after Jesus. It's a great sort of an idea and a concept that we can pour into these kids' lives. So be in prayer for these young people. It fits very well. In fact, Pastor Tom will be here next Sunday morning again, and he's going to share a little bit about from the youth retreat and tell some stories and talk about the theme a little bit. And so you can be looking forward to that. And that fits very well with a new series that we're actually kind of kicking off today, and it's called The Subtleties of Seeking. What we're going to be doing over the next maybe month or so, leading right up to Easter, is we are going to be looking at what it means to seek God. What does that mean to be in a proactive search for him? And we know sort of doctrinally that God is seeking and has sought and continues to seek us, right? He's the initial seeker. He's the one who sought relationship with us. And so now we look at reflecting him and how we can actually begin seeking after him. And the Old Testament and New Testament are filled with God's encouragement to seek him. God encourages us to get on a proactive search, and we'll talk about. And I think in many ways that search is subtle. I think there's subtleties within what it means to search after God. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But let's look at, to start this whole thing, let's look at Psalm 53. There's a wonderful verse in Psalm 53. You can open in your Bibles or you can go here. This is going to kind of lay a foundation for us for this entire series. Let's read Psalm 53:2. Speaking of God, now we know that God the Father is residing up in heaven. We know that God the Son came down to this earth. And in reading Revelation, he's there in heaven now, and the Holy Spirit is dwelling inside of us as his followers. So there's a part of God that's in us, certainly a part of God that's in heaven. And this is sort of God the Father and what he's currently and what he was doing in the Old Testament. Of course, David wrote this, a man after God's own heart, a man like us who was filled with the Holy Spirit. And David was saying, boy, as a follower of Jesus, as one of his children, and as God's looking down at us, what's one of our jobs? Let's read Psalm 53:2. God looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, and then he defines what it means to understand, who seek after God. Now that's a simple verse, but I think it's profound at the same time. It's saying that God is currently looking down, maybe even upon us here at Bayside, and he's saying, do they get it? And he's looking down onto my life and he's saying, Mark, does Mark get it? And then he's even giving the definition. He's telling us, how do we know, how does God know if we get it? By if we seek him. And so the question becomes, are we in a proactive search for God? Because that would be then what defines our true understanding of him. So our true understanding of God and all that he is in his nature and his character and his goodness and his grace and his desire for a relationship and his forgiveness and his justice and all that package that we can't even fully get our hands around, but we work at it, that package of God and our understanding of that and of him is defined by whether or not we seek him. So this morning, God is looking down upon us here at Bayside, looking down upon our lives and our hearts, and he searches deep. We can't hide anything from him. He's knowing what's going on, and is there something within us this morning that is desiring to seek after God? Let's open in prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, I would just want to thank you for this morning, and God, I do want to start by lifting up our youth. Lord God, those 40, 50 kids, those students, those young people, Father, wow, there's just so much there. There's so much potential. There's so much energy, so much life. And God, I know in so many of their lives, they are desiring to seek after you. And God, I want to ask that this weekend would be one of those times, one of those seasons in life that helps to define who they are as a person. Lord God, do a work in them. I pray your blessing upon Pastor Thomas and all of the youth sponsors and helpers and leaders and adults who are there as well, that they would just encourage and focus and channel all these young lives right back to you. Christ, be glorified there. May your name be lifted up. And as they are even worshiping and looking for you and seeking after you this morning like we are, I pray that you'd be with them. Keep them safe, of course, God, and just bless their time and use it for the best in their lives. Father, I also pray for our time now. God, as we sit here and look into your word and as we look at what it means to seek you, Lord God, help us to have minds that are open to consider some things and to look at the subtleties of seeking you, God. And Father, may we leave today with a passion and a desire to proactively, diligently seek after you hard. Father, we love you. We thank you. We worship and adore you. Be with us during this time. Holy Spirit, please be moving now. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, there's some pretty amazing promises that God gives us if we will seek him. Just listen to a couple of these promises. If we truly seek him, God's word tells us we will find him. So if we are in a search for God, he is able to be found. It's not that we search and search and search and never find him. Bible says if you seek him, you'll find him. Bible also says you will have rewards. God rewards those who diligently seek him. There is a blessing and a reward that comes. How many of you this morning, show me by raising your hands, would like a little blessing and a little reward in your life? Yeah, thank you. I would too. It's one of those promises of God that says if you seek him, God rewards those who have a search and a seeking and a pursuit of God. We want the blessing. We want the reward. Are we putting up the search and the pursuit? Listen to this list of what God promises if we seek him. He promises us life. He promises us love, purpose, perspective, and hope. There is a promise of God that if we seek him, these things shall be added unto our life. Life, love, purpose, perspective, and hope. Much of our lives on this earth will be determined, much of our lives this week will be determined by whether or not we make a decision to seek him. Now, we know very clearly we have been saved by God's grace. We have been saved by God's goodness. We've been saved not because of anything that we could do. Saved by God's grace through faith. And we are secure and solid in our salvation, not because of our efforts, but because of Jesus' work on the cross. Amen? That's the gospel. But much of how our lives are lived in the fullness of the promises of God are determined by whether or not we proactively seek him. And so much of how our lives are lived out on this earth will be determined by whether or not we truly understand God, and that's determined by whether or not we decide to seek Him. So I asked the question this morning, what does it mean for you to seek God? What does that mean in your life? How do you seek after Him? Does it mean you pray? Is prayer seeking after God? Well, how about reading the Word? Is reading the Word seeking after God? How about coming to church? Is that seeking after God? How about tithing, given our, 10% plus, a little bit more? Administrative board, can I get a name? No, okay. How about tithing? Is that seeking? How about fasting? Fasting and seeking. How about being kind and loving the least of these? Is that seeking after God? What defines seeking after God? Now, I just put it this way. Many of those things, that list that I just gave, the Pharisees did those things. In fact, they did them very well. They did them to perfection. Did the Pharisees seek after God? Were they seeking Him? Okay, so maybe it's about having the right intention. Maybe if I'm sincere in my pursuit of Him, that's a popular thing in our culture. Well, as long as you're sincere in pursuing, as long as you have the right heart, and if you're pursuing what is truth, then you must be seeking God. Is the right heart seeking God? Or maybe I have to have a feeling. Maybe when I seek God, I get this feeling, this tingly feeling in my body. Does that mean I've found Him? So that spiritual feeling that wells up, does that mean I've found God and so I've sought Him properly? What does it mean to seek after God? I believe, and that's why I titled this message what I did in this series, I think there are subtleties. I think there are subtleties to how we seek after God. I think many times we want to define seeking God in a package that we've just established and say, this is how I seek God. This is it. And I think it's maybe a little more subtle than that. We're going to start by defining two words, and it's the two words of the message. First of all, what's the first word we want to define is the word subtle. The subtleties of seeking God, let's define that word subtle. It means to be mysterious. The Bible talks over and over and over of the mystery or the mysteries of God, that He is beyond in some ways figuring out. Do we see God in that mysterious, larger-than-life light? Now, we are to seek after Him and to know as much as we can, but is God mysterious? Is there a subtlety? It can be delicate. All relationships can be delicate at times. Our salvation is secure, but our relationship can be delicate and even hidden, requires some discernment and some thought. That's what it means to be subtle. I think many times truly seeking after God can be these things. Have you ever felt like you've been praying to God and your prayers are hitting the ceiling of your room and there's just no connection? Have you ever felt like that? Well, then does feeling mean you haven't sought God? There's subtleties to this. Let's define our second term. What does it mean to seek? This word's a little more difficult to define because that word seek, actually there's at least six different Hebrew and Greek words for just that one word to seek. And we may get to some of those individual words over the next month or so. But for now, this is my best combined conglomerate definition of all of those words, taking them. This is what I believe it means to seek something. It means to search. In pursuit, to make request of. Look at that, to search for in pursuit. What are you pursuing this morning? What has your life last week been defined in your pursuit of? What are we pursuing? Make request of, that's popular. That's one way that I seek God. I make requests of Him all the time when I need something. That is one way that we seek Him, to desire. Wow, that's a big word, desire. What do you desire this morning, a relationship? What do you desire, a little more money? What do you desire, some peace? What do you desire for your family to be just the way? What do you desire, maybe health? What's our desire? But to seek after God means that a part of us is desiring Him. Are you consumed with a desire? And then look at that third one, that fourth one is to worship. That means to literally bow down in worship of Him. I think so many times we want to define how we seek God. This is the way I've always sought God. This is the way I've done it, and I've found Him seeking him that way. And so this is the way that I do it. This is my path to seeking God. And so this is the only way that I do it. And I just want to say, you know what? Hang on a second. Maybe this relationship that we are in is more dynamic. And I know God doesn't change. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But even with somebody that doesn't change, the relationship can move. And the relationship can be dynamic. And there are probably seasons of life where how we seek God may look different than at other seasons of our life. And that's not only a good thing, I think that brings life to the relationship. And it brings a dynamic aspect, the subtleties of seeking. We're going to look at how seeking God can seem like a mystery at times. How sometimes this relationship can feel delicate. How sometimes pursuing him and what it means to find him might require some discernment, might require a little bit of thought rather than just doing the same thing that we've always done to seek him. Maybe our mind should be engaged in what it means to seek after God. Maybe we should really let our mind get wrapped around, God, what does that look like in my life to seek you beyond where I've ever sought you before? Now, that can be a little scary because that means some change. That means maybe I have to do something. Maybe that means my schedule might be adjusted. Maybe that means I'm going to engage a part of my heart that has just never been engaged before. Can be a little mysterious. Turn with me, if you will. We're going to be in Isaiah chapter 58 for the next at least couple of weeks. Isaiah 58 is a great chapter on seeking God. In fact, what Isaiah chapter 58 is it's God speaking to Isaiah, to the children of Israel. And that's what, of course, what prophets did many times. And we're going to get into the fullness of this chapter. We're just going to hit these first two verses this morning. Let's read these as we get started. First of all, verse 1, cry aloud. God's telling Isaiah to tell the people. Cry aloud, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their transgression, to the house of Jacob their sins. Now, we know just from verse 1 there's a problem. There's a problem in the land like there often was in the nation of Israel. And so he's telling him, he said, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Now, as far as I could tell, that's the only time God ever told Isaiah and maybe any of the prophets to speak like a trumpet. He told them a lot of times to speak in different ways. The only time he ever said, speak it, make your voice like a trumpet. Now, I didn't bring a trumpet this morning, but I might next week. If I feel like, when would you use a trumpet? You would use a trumpet if you were crying out for war. The trumpet was a war instrument. It's time for battle. Or more often than not, and mostly in the books of the prophets, it was a call to give people a warning. It was a warning. It was saying, you better get ready. This is what's going on. I'm going to warn. We've been studying through the book of Revelation on Wednesday nights, and we've been looking at, we're right in the middle of the trumpet judgments, just kind of finishing that up. And that is, those trumpet judgments were a warning that the end is right at hand. In fact, he's ready to start pouring out the bowls of God's wrath right after the trumpet judgments. So he's saying there's some trouble here. Now, verse 2 is not the trouble. Verse 2 is an interlude before he gets to the trouble. We're going to get to the trouble next week or in the next couple of weeks. But look at that first word in verse 2. It says yet. Now that's a very key word because when he says yet, he's saying there's trouble coming, but I'm going to give you some good news first. I'm going to get to some of the things that the children of Israel are doing really well, and then we'll get to the trouble stuff later. We're going to focus on this verse 2. Yet, I'm going to give you the good news, they seek me daily. That word daily is so key. We're going to focus in on that in a minute. And they delight to know my ways. We're going to talk about that, two D words this morning. And that word delight is the other one we're going to look at. They delight to know my ways as if they were a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the judgment of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. And then look at this last phrase. They delight to draw near to God. Now, does that define us? Is that where we're at this morning? Are we delighting in drawing near and seeking out Jesus Christ? That's a good question. The first thing we're going to look at this morning, the first subtlety of seeking, if you have your sermon notes, you can fill this in. Seeking God is about two things. And the balance of these two things, there's the subtlety. Seeking God is about what we do and who we are. Seeking God is about what we do and who we are. Many times we want to define seeking God by one of those two things. We want to define it either by what we do and put aside who we are, or we want to define God by who we are and not worry so much about what we do. Seeking God is about both. And the balance of those two things is what defines it, the subtlety in seeking Him. Let's look at those one at a time. First of all, what we do. That's that first D word called daily. Daily. What does it mean to seek God daily? This is the discipline of seeking Him. The discipline of seeking God is what it means to seek Him daily. Now, we don't like that word discipline very much. If I asked any, I can't imagine anybody in this room that'd say, you know what, if there's anything I could use a little more of in my life, it's some discipline. Now, we need discipline, and there's a part of us that resonates with discipline, but from the time we're children, we resist what? Discipline. We resist it. And of course, there's two forms of discipline. One, the punitive discipline, and the other one is a disciplined life. And that's what we're talking about here. The Israelites, from this time in Isaiah 58, they were at a season where they were leading a disciplined life seeking God. It says they sought Him daily. They had disciplined their lives to a point where they were seeking after Him each day. They were doing some right things. They were disciplined. Every day they were reading God's word or having God's word read to them. They were in prayer to God. They were fasting. We're going to read about how they were doing that in next week. Maybe they were singing songs. Maybe they were praising Him. They were daily seeking God. They had developed a discipline in their life of seeking Him. Now we, most of us know this, get this. We should be seeking God how often? Daily. We should be spending time with Him in His word and in prayer every day. We should be developing a disciplined life to seek after God. But if we're honest, isn't that hard? Isn't that difficult to build that particular discipline into our lives? We know we should do it. There's a part of us that wants to do it. We've seen the benefits when we do seek Him through His word and prayer every day. Have you experienced that where when, let's say, you spend some time and you seek Him and you feel like, wow, I found Him today, and your day goes better? Have you experienced that? Okay, I told people in the first service, when I do this, that's your symbol that if you agree, you do the same thing. Okay, let's try it. So here's the deal. Haven't you experienced that when you seek Him daily and you find Him, doesn't your day go better? Okay, yeah. Okay, we've experienced that, haven't we? We've experienced that where we know that if we have the discipline of seeking Him, it goes better, and yet it's still really hard to build that discipline into our life. 13 years ago is when God began convincing me that I needed to have a discipline, a daily discipline of seeking Him. And I remember the season of life I was in. I remember what was going on in mine and my wives and my wives. There's a slip, and that's not a Freudian. That's just a slip. I'm very happy with one. Praise the Lord. My wife, I remember what our family situation was, and I even remember what was going on in my parents' lives. And I remember God beginning to convince me that He wanted me to start seeking Him each day. And then he even made it pretty clear that He wanted me to start seeking Him in the morning, early in the morning, and I loved the bed. And that was one of the most brutal disciplines to see built in my life. And God had to use some good things, and He had to use some challenging things to get me to a point where that became a daily discipline. And I'll tell you that it wasn't easy. It was tough. And I tried to do it, and we'll talk about this in a little bit. I tried to do it on my own strength for a while, and it lasted for a week or two. And then I just gradually started to fall back into the same old routine, and I stopped seeking Him each day. To build a discipline, a daily disciplined life, is hard. It's hard. In fact, I think it's one of the most difficult things to do because you have everything battling against you. Everything. You have your flesh battling against you. You have our culture battling against you, because if you get up first thing in the morning, you better start working. You better work out. You better start doing something productive. That's what our culture says. If you get up early, you better get something done. So you have your flesh battling against you. You have your culture battling against you. And you better believe you have your enemy battling against you. You have every force battling against a disciplined daily life, because your flesh doesn't want it, your culture doesn't understand the benefits to it, and your enemy is scared of it. I will tell you right now, your enemy is scared of a disciplined daily life of prayer and the Word. He's afraid of that because he knows the power behind that. And so it is one of the most difficult things to develop and to see built in your life. We'll talk about the challenges of that in a little bit. What is discipline like? Discipline is kind of like, imagine building a house. Discipline is like putting up the frame of the house. It's building the support structure. It's building the general frame. Now, that doesn't mean, once you've built the frame, it doesn't mean you're ready to live there. It doesn't mean you're ready to enjoy all the benefits and the blessings of abiding in that house. But what it does is it's the painstaking process of putting up the frame so that you can live in that house and you can abide there and you can dwell there and you can enjoy all the benefits of that home. That's what discipline is like. That's the word daily. Let's look at that second word. Second word is the word delight, to delight in. Now this, what does the word delight mean? It literally means to be inclined towards something or to take pleasure in something. The Israelites were very diligent in their pursuit of God, but it didn't end there. They were also delighting in God. They were finding pleasure in Him. Their hearts were being inclined towards Him. Let me ask you this. Is your pursuit of God pleasurable? Are you delighting in seeking Him and finding Him? Is it religiously driven so that you just get done with your religious seeking and pursuit and then you feel like you've justified, but you find no pleasure in that? No true delight for your soul in seeking Him? Because you know what? It's both. It's not just a disciplined life, but it is the delight and the pleasure that flows from that discipline. It's like you put up the walls and the structure of your house, and it becomes the opportunity then to start living in that house and enjoying the benefits and finding pleasure in abiding in the vine of Jesus Christ. And so we build the structure of a disciplined life, and then we delight in the relationship that structure affords us. Are we finding delight in seeking Jesus? So a good question is, well, what comes first? The daily discipline or the delight that it affords? You know, in my life, and I've been thinking about that question all week. Is it the chicken or the egg thing? I don't know what comes first. I do know that in my life, God has built some wonderful aspects of delighting in Him. And I think I delighted in Him before I ever had a desire or God stirred up a desire to be disciplined. I think when God saved me, and He saved me, I surely didn't save myself. When God saved me, there was a level of delighting Him that just flowed in. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Remember the joy of your salvation? When we were saved, there was a delight that came in. And then as we continued to delight in Him, something inside of us said, you know what, I think my life needs to be a little more disciplined. And I think God might even be stirring me up to have a little more discipline in my daily life. And then that discipline and that process of having that formed in our life brought us an opportunity to even delight more in Him. And so they kind of work and play off each other. My disciplined life leads to my delight, and my delight leads me to understand and appreciate the discipline even more. That's the subtlety. That's the subtlety of seeking Him, is we need a disciplined life that allows us to delight in our relationship with Jesus. They go hand in hand. They work together. Now, what is the danger in this? Well, I think either way there could be a danger. Let's say you try, and I talked about this, let's say you try to build a disciplined life exclusively on your own power. What if you try to just say, okay, Mark talked about discipline this morning, and I'm going to go home and I'm going to be disciplined, and I'm just going to do it. And you know what? If you're a pretty, you know, kind of proactive kind of a guy, you can go for that for a while. And you'll probably have some level of discipline. Some of us will only make it a day, and then we'll think, I'm not going to be religious, and we'll give it up. But those of us who are really disciplined can last for a week or two or a month. Or maybe if we're really disciplined, we can just get into it and really just be disciplined in pursuit of Him. But it's really dry. There's no love there. There's no delight there. And if we try to just be disciplined for the sake of being disciplined, we will lose the love and the joy and the delight and the pleasure that there is not only when we seek Him, but when we find Him. We can't try to do this on our own. We were never intended to. That's definitely something we cannot try to attempt. Or if we just simply want to put forth all diligence to seek Him, but we don't want any discipline in our life, and we just say, I'm not going to have any discipline. I'm just going to seek Him at random times. I'll tell you what, the world has a way of taking good intentions and making them not follow through with what reality needs to be. Jesus said, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is what? We can have a very, very willing spirit to seek after God. And when God put His spirit in us, that spirit inside of us cries out, Abba, Father. That spirit that's in us wants relationship with God like we do with a father. It desires that. But our flesh is weak, so that we must crucify the flesh consistently to build a disciplined life so that we can enjoy the delight of relationship with Him. This subtlety, we're going to read, kind of close with Philippians 2. Two verses from Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. This subtlety, this discipline, and this delight is wrapped up. Who we are and what we do is wrapped up in these verses from Philippians 2, starting in verse 12. You're going to see both of these on display in the two verses. First will be our part, second will be God's part. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence. And look at this phrase, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now that takes a whole bunch of the effort and the emphasis and the work, and it puts it on our shoulders. Now I want to tell you very clearly, that is not saying that we need to get saved and resaved and resaved. That's not what that's saying. That is saying that as we are being saved from the power of sin, as we are being sanctified, as we are being made more like Jesus, we have a part in that. We have a part to play in how God does His work in us and through us. We need to be actively at work pursuing God, pursuing Him. That's what verse 12 is saying. But now look at verse 13, and it flips that coin right over and talks about the subtlety. For it is God. Now it's not us who works. Now it's God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. That right there, my friends, is the subtlety of seeking. We pursue Him. We seek after Him. We build a disciplined life the best we can, realizing that we can't do anything to change ourselves. So we work, and we seek, and we pursue, and we desire, and we crucify that flesh on a daily basis so that we can have a disciplined life so that God can change us. Because it's His pleasure to incline our hearts to desire Him. It's His pleasure that Spirit within us would take over more and more and more of our life so that we want more and more and more and more of Jesus. Because we found some delight and we just want more delight. Amen? Two things, and I don't know where you're at this morning. If you have never had that discipline, that daily disciplined life built into your life, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you this morning. Don't leave this place without committing to saying, I am going to do everything I can to build a disciplined life to daily seek after Jesus. Daily. I am going to seek after Him starting today. Today, I'm going to see my life change in light of building a life. I'm going to build that foundation in my life. And at the same time, understanding you can't build it. You can't do it. You can't achieve it on your own. And so you bank all of that with trust. You put all of that under the eyes, under the watchful eyes of God, and say, God, I'm going to do everything I can today to see a disciplined life be built, but I know that only you can do this. I know that only you can change my heart to desire this. But as far as it relies upon me, I'm going to do this. If you've never had a disciplined life where you seek him every single day, let me just tell you, and for me, I will say that this has been for me the greatest blessing in my life. The greatest blessing in my life is what God does through that daily discipline of seeking after him. Now, does that mean every single day it's wonderful and that doesn't mean that. It means that as I've looked back at the last 13 years of my life, I can point to nothing else other than disciplining my life and seeing God change me, that there is nothing that has been better than that. Nothing. There has been nothing that has been more of a blessing. I've seen God do some amazing things in ministry, and I say that humbly because I haven't done any of them. But at the encounter and with Youth for Christ, I saw God do some incredible works. I mean incredible works of redeeming people's lives, seeing him do miracles upon miracles. But there has been nothing that has been more of a blessing than God building a desire into me to seek him in the morning first thing. Nothing. Nothing has been more deeply satisfying in here than knowing Jesus deeply, intimately. And so if you've never built that, do whatever it takes to see God build that discipline in your life. Maybe you're on the other side. Maybe that is a discipline that you have. Maybe that's something that you just do. And if that's something that is lending itself to life for you, then I want to praise the Lord with you. Keep seeking him. But maybe, like there's been seasons in my life where seeking him has become religious. It's become just something I do because I've always done it. I've always sought after him. In fact, this is the way that I've sought after him. But it's become dry. And it's lost the life and the love and the pleasure and the delight of seeking him to find him. And that's another subtlety. Sometimes you build this discipline in your life and you find him for a while, and then slowly, 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 it just starts to become something you do. And it loses the power and the love and the life that it was meant to give us on a daily basis. We were meant to have a disciplined life which affords us the delight of finding him, and those two things go very hand in hand. Here's some new ways. Let's say you've been seeking him for a while, and you want a new way to seek him, or maybe you want to build some of these disciplines in. I've told you this before. One of my favorite things to do on the planet is to go take a walk and just pray. I can't tell you what a blessing that has been in my life. Boy, this week you are going to have some opportunities to go outside and walk. Go outside in a place where you can see his creation. I love walking the boardwalk in Duluth because you're just immersed in his creation and start thanking him for what he made. Start praising him for his creative abilities. Start worshiping him for his grace in your life. Don't worry about what people think about you if you're walking and you're smiling and you're praying. Don't worry about it. They'll think you're crazy. They'll leave you alone. Just get out and take a walk in creation or go drive somewhere and sit. We have a beautiful hill that we can sit and overlook so much of God, what he made. Enjoy that. Maybe you haven't gotten a new Bible in a while. There's something about a new Bible or maybe even a new translation of the Bible that can cause a desire to seek him more. That happens for me often. I get a new Bible every year or two because it causes me, it stirs something up within me. It's like a new book. You know how you're excited to read a new book? Well, maybe it's time to, you know, we do the ESV, English Standard Version. Maybe you haven't gotten that version. Well, maybe it's time to get a new Bible or maybe study a new book of the Bible. Maybe something you haven't studied or read for a while and you want to dig into it, something that applies to you, applies to where your life is at. Or maybe you just want to spend some time kicking back and just thinking on him and just thanking him and praising him and letting him just kind of wash over you. get alone and get quiet. Maybe you want to put some music on and praise him and adore him in some new way. Whatever it is, this relationship that we are in is dynamic. The problem, what happened with the Pharisees, is it became ultimate mugo religious. And so everything was simply defined by doing the right thing. And Jesus said, but your hearts are far from me. Let's not just do the right thing. Let's let our hearts draw near to him, find delight in him, find pleasure in him. There's a great, in fact, one of my favorite hymns. It's an old one. It's an oldie but a goodie. It's entitled In the Garden. And it was written by a guy named, well, I won't tell you about that yet. I want to read this hymn. And I'm going to have Bill. Bill, will you come up? Because I think we're going to sing this too. Okay, I want to read this. I come to the garden alone. This hymn right here talks about the discipline and the delight that flows from the discipline. Look at this. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. Whoever wrote this, they're getting up early, aren't they? The dew is not on the roses unless you're up at a certain time of the day. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. That right there, my friends, is a disciplined life. This person is getting up and spending time early with God. But now look at what happens. Look at the delight that is just immersed in this chorus. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. He walks with me, walking with Jesus. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Isn't that good? That is a disciplined life that leads to a delight in finding him. I want to sing this. Bill's going to lead us. What I want to encourage you with is sing the song. If you've never heard the tune before, just kind of follow along. It's pretty easy. Let's sing this together as a worship song to the Father.
I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Isn't that good? Make that your song. Bill, thank you. When I first heard that song, I imagined the little lady that wrote it. And I just, this is just me, but I pictured a little nun in a monastery just walking among the garden, and there's flowers and she's walking, and it's just this beautiful picture that I thought of this little gal. And I did a little research this week on this song. Well, it was written by a guy named Charles Miles, and he wasn't a nun. It was written in 1913, and Charles was a pharmacist. And he wasn't from Europe. He was from New Jersey. And he wrote this song in a basement. And the basement was dark, and it was gloomy. And in fact, they said the basement consistently leaked water. And so when Charles wrote this song, he wasn't writing it because he had found some physical garden. And he wrote it because he had found a place of oneness and delight with Jesus. And his physical situation and his physical circumstances didn't stop him from delighting and finding joy in Christ. He found it in a dark, dreary, drippy basement. he found the joy that the garden affords. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. God, we thank you so much that you have afforded us the opportunity to know you, to know you intimately, to relate to you, to not just have this be a religious experience, something that we just have to do to be justified. God, you did the work in the sending of your son Jesus. And Christ, you did all of that work on the cross. We remembered that last week. And we thank you for the work that you accomplished, that full and satisfying work of accomplishing that. And now, God, you have opened up, you have offered to us an intimacy, a closeness of relationship, God, that is real and that is life-giving and that is beyond anything that this world could ever give to us. Father, I pray that this week we can experience that delight. And Lord, if we've never had a disciplined life of prayer and the Word, Lord, help us to desire to build that into our lives and help us to be diligent and determined, God, to be disciplined. And Father, I ask then that you would do the work of changing our hearts to not only want that, but to need that and to have that be like the very breath that we breathe, that intimate relationship, that walk, that oneness with you. God, as we sing this closing song about adoring you, Father, help our hearts and our minds to be in that place of true adoration. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.